Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the scriptures we have just heard. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to understand them, that they would speak your truth to us. But most importantly, we pray that we would know them as the truth. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. The story is told about the baptism of King Angus by St. Patrick in the middle of the 5th century. Sometime during the rite of the king's baptism, St. Patrick leaned on his sharp-pointed staff and inadvertently stabbed the king's foot. After baptism was over, St. Patrick looked down at all the blood and realized what he had done and begged the king's forgiveness. "Why did you suffer this pain in silence?" the saint wanted to know. The king replied, "I thought it was part of the ritual." Baptism is one of our true sacraments of the church. That is, if you're in a Presbyterian church. But there is much debate about what it actually does and does not do. One person wrote in the book Christian Theology in Plain Language, "Over the centuries, Christians have debated what baptism accomplishes, to whom it should be administered, and how much water should be used." Even the gospel writers say different things about baptism, especially Jesus' baptism. And they emphasize different aspects about Jesus' baptism. In Matthew, we get the argument between Jesus and John, where John says to Jesus, "You should baptize me. I can't baptize you." And Jesus says to him, "It's okay, John. Let's just do it this time, this way for now, for righteousness' sake, because it's the right thing to do." It appears that Matthew is writing about a struggle in the early church about whether or not Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, needed to be baptized for the remission of sins, which is what John's baptism was for. Mark, the shortest of all accounts, just says he was coming out of the water and a voice came down. "This is my son with whom I'm pleased." That's it. Jesus is baptized. Which is what all the Gospels mention. They mention Mark. And Matthew and Luke took from Mark and then added their own things to it. Mark was intent on passing along the truth that Jesus was the anointed one. That was purely his reason for telling the story of Jesus' baptism. And in John's gospel, we're not exactly sure that Jesus was baptized. John speaks of a dove of the Spirit coming down on Jesus after the fact, after that dove had come down at some point to his disciples. He's remembering when that happened. But we don't know if it happened at his baptism or not. But the writer of John's gospel is intent on the witness of John that Jesus is the greater one. Jesus is the Messiah and not he, John. And then we have Luke's gospel, which we heard a few minutes ago. Like Mark, the author of Luke seems to be intent on presenting Jesus simply as the Son of God. But what is interesting about Luke's version, we're not sure if John's the one that baptized Jesus. In the preceding verses of Jesus' baptism that I read to you, it talks about how Herod had put John in prison. Now, are we then reading back before John was put in prison or not? In Luke, John is also pointing out Jesus is the Messiah, more powerful than he, John. Him whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop and untie the thongs of, is what John said. How the story is told is very important. The problem, though, is understanding what the meaning behind those differences is. All four say some of the same things, but they all have something different. And what one problem that we have as Christians, and those of us who have grown up in the church, we've heard these stories so many times that they just kind of run together and we think they all say the same thing. And they don't. Each writer is writing with a different emphasis in mind for their gospel. Each writer's account may be also colored by the memory of their experience of when, if and when they were baptized. We're not exactly sure whether the disciples were ever baptized. We never read about it. We assume they were. And today, we are thinking about our stories, our baptism stories. We've invited you to bring in the pictures, as I mentioned earlier, of when you were baptized or where you were baptized. The people who were there, think about that. I can look back. I grew up in one church. I went from birth to ordination in the same church and went through about three ministers. But I can picture, even though I was baptized when I was about a half a year old, I can picture the people who were there because they were people I grew up with in the church. They were my parents' friends. And all of those kinds of things colors our experience of our baptism. It also colors and makes us think about what does baptism mean for us? And that can be very different among us as well. Perhaps you feel that you were saved for eternity when you were baptized. Perhaps you understand it, that you were welcomed into the family of God when you were baptized. Perhaps for you it is the promise of the church and God to be there for you when you needed it, teaching you and loving you. Maybe for you it is a ritual that your parents did that really doesn't have much meaning for you. Maybe by being baptized you feel that you've escaped something, like the Hebrews did when Moses led them through the parting of the Red Sea. All of us have different ways of thinking about our baptism and what baptism means. All of us would tell the story differently. What's wonderful about that, though, is the Spirit of God touches us in so many different ways that our stories are so different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, though they do agree on one thing, that the voice said, "This is my son, the beloved," and we believe that is the same for each of us, that when we were baptized, God said, "This is my son, this is my daughter, the beloved." God announced at our baptism that we are God's children. Yes, Jesus was special. He was the Messiah. But God has declared each of us special too. How would we tell that story of God's blessing, of being special in God's eyes? Each of us has been blessed with life, with love, and each of us has been given gifts. Gifts from God to use for God in the church and in the world. In a few minutes, we will be ordaining and installing new officers, and we will recognize their gifts. But as the opening responsive reading to that service suggests, we all have been blessed with gifts That's a part of being God's beloved. We celebrate our baptism when we use those gifts and truly live as the beloved child of God. So now, how would you tell the story? What people would be in it? What feelings would be in it? What meanings would be in it? Amen.